this virus, and most of us can't even attend church on Sundays, the real definition of your faith is not about where you worship or where you go on Sunday, but what are you doing on Monday? Are you cursing folks out of their faith, just praises or peace? Do you give them a peace of your mind, or do you pray for them when they make you mad or with? Do you show up to God's house and welcome ministry duty with his client on Thursday? Do you blow your check, or do you save something for tithes and offering on Friday? Do you go out and hang out and have a good time on Saturday, or do you propose yourself to get back to God's house on Sunday? Real faith is an everyday 24/7. That's what you can take the text and send it around. Abraham is the man whom God handpicked himself and established the covenant through which he would redeem all of mankind. God promised Abraham that the redemption of the world would come through his seed, his son. You know the story, the promise of a son, the seed, impossible because Abraham and Sarah were way past childbearing age. But God being God, did what God does, did a miracle and gave them the promised son, the miracle son named Isaac. And this is the promised son. This is the son they waited 20-something years for. This is the miracle. This is the son they love. This is, in fact, their only son. God gave them who gave them their only son. At the time of our text, now says to Abraham, sacrifice. Are y'all with me? Why did God ask Abraham? Well, there are a number of reasons that we could come up with. However, one of the reasons that I believe God asked him to do this is because Abraham's faith needed to be proven to be received. It's in the text, verse number one, Isaiah, now it came to pass that after all these things, God tested Abraham. You are saved like you say you are saved. If you are really dedicated to God, life will test you to see if you mean what you say. Trouble, stress, headache, confusion, misunderstanding, disappointment, family issues, job problems, self struggles, life knows how to test you. To see if those words you are speaking really mean something to you. And if you know story of Abraham, you can agree with me that this test here in chapter 22 really isn't his first test. You back up and you look at the end of chapter 12, when he travels through Egypt. Out of fear, he lies and says that Sarah is his sister. He failed that test. Chapter 15, he makes a covenant with God. He passes that test. Chapter 16, he has a son with Hagar instead of waiting on God and following God's instructions. He failed that test. Chapter 20, he follows God's instructions and bears his son Isaac, the son of the promise. He passes that test. But now in chapter 22, his faith is being tested again. There are two conclusions that we can draw from this series of tests and failed tests. Conclusion number one, it tells me that real faith, it's not about passing or failing life's tests. Real faith is being committed regardless of where I am or how I've done on the test. You see, some people expect us church folk to be perfect. God never said for us to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. He's perfect. You just have to be willing and committed to serving him. Now, let me help you. I'm not too far left wing where I would give you permission to go out there and fail. Because you are always striving to do the best you can and to do what's right. But I'm not too far right wing either, because it is impossible to cross every T and to dot every I. None of us can stand for a camera to follow us around 24/7. But as long as you are willing, as long as you dust yourself off when you fail and you keep moving forward, as long as you are committed to God, you will always be pleasing him in his sight. That's why this song says, this old hymn we used to sing in the country, I'm going to live so God can
me anywhere and anytime. That's the testimony of somebody who is willing and committed to following God, even when they fail and mess up. You don't have to pass every test. You don't have to be perfect. You just got to have the kind of faith that goes beyond the result of the test. Conclusion of a teacher testifying to me. They tell me that even though I might fail to finish the test, if I have real faith and God is the one whom I faith is in, God will never give up on me. When I fail the test, if I still believe and trust in God, He never gives up on me. I know that word, that didn't make any sense. But it makes me happy because I know how much I have missed. I know how many messes I've made that God had to come behind me and clean up. I know how many people I've done wrong. I know how many of life tests I failed. But even though I've failed of many a test, God has not given up on me. In fact, I'm standing here today because I feel some tests, but He's held me in His hands. That's why I can testify about His redeeming love. That's why I can tell you about His tender mercy. That's why I can teach you about His amazing grace. That's why I can tell you that He looks beyond your faults and meets all of your needs. That's why I can preach about having another chance over and over and over again, because for every test I failed, I say to myself, I do not know why He came to love me so, but look beyond my faults. Oh, thank God that He met every one of my needs. God has asked Him for the ultimate sacrifice. He said, I want you to sacrifice your miracle promise. First, you know, Bible preacher in the text. He said, God said, take now your only son Isaac, who you love, go to Moriah, offer him up on a mountain of which I will show you. And the very next verse says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey. In other words, he started on his way to do what God told him to do. Here's the reason. It's because real faith trusts the Word of God. Do you want to know what would make Abraham be willing to give up his only son if he didn't push back? The reason is, because real faith has a foundation in and is grounded on the Word of God. God said, go. The next verse says, Abraham. Tells us, God, that real faith has nothing to do with how you feel. It's not about how you feel, because if Abraham would have acted on his feelings, he would have put the brakes on. He probably would have looked for another way. He would have tried to rationalize it, so you know how to do. He tried to over-spiritualize his conversation about what God was telling him to do. But real faith means you have to trust God and His Word even when you don't understand. Because real faith means that even when you don't feel like it, you do it anyway. Abraham walked by faith, not by sight. He walked by faith, not by feelings. He walked by faith, and his worship and his dedication, his walking was because his faith was built on God's Word. You cannot have your faith unless you have a firm foundation in the Word of God. Your faith must be founded on His Word. It is the Word that builds your faith. More than an experience you have, more than what you have been through, more than what you think, more than anybody's opinion, more than what they say in the news, more than what somebody has told you, your faith must stand on God's Word alone. You don't believe me? If faith starts with believing, then Paul asks this question. How can they call on you whom they have not believed? How can they believe if they've not heard. How can they hear without a preacher? So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. I love singing and shouting, but I don't even like to go to church. If there's not going to be anybody preaching and standing on the Word of God. Now, that's just me. That's not just happening to you. But after a long week at work, after dealing with this growth, you know, my nerves all week long, trying to figure out these bills, trying to make sure these kids are okay, and they texting me and calling about church stuff. And you know what? When I get to church on Sunday, I don't come to hear no singing. I love singing, but I don't come to hear that. I don't come to hear nobody pray no cheap prayer and quote no songs or scriptures. When I come to these doors, come because I want to hear a word from the Lord. Jesus said, if you want to live and live right, you're going to need more than bread alone, but you're going to need every word that comes from the mouth of God. Job says, his word is more important to me than the food I eat and the air I breathe. David said, his word keeps me from falling when I feel like messing up. He put it this way, by word have I hid in my heart that I may not. Paul says that the word is God breathed and fearful instruction, rebuke, correction, and correction. If you want things to get better in your life, if you want peace in the midst of confusion, if you want your heart fixed and your mind regulated, if you want strength when you're weak, if you want to be mended when you're broken, if you want your cup to overflow, stand on the word of God, and you will see how God turns life in your direction. You see, life will put you in some situations that your money can't buy you out of, your street smarts can't take you out of, and your connections can't pull you out of. And the only thing that will work is the kind of faith that is built on the Word of God. You know why? Because there is some shown up real life-changing power in His Word. Is that anybody listening to me? But know that there is power in the Word of God. Can I tell you the kind of powers in the Word of God? There's life-changing power. There's healing power. There's miracle-working power. There's wonder-working power. There is power in the Word of God. And if you stand on it, God will come to your rescue. If you stand on it, God will turn things around. If you stand on it, God will do for you what you stand in need of. Your faith must be built on the Word. Real faith will be tested. Real faith built on the Word. And I just want to share with you a scattered thought about the rest of this text that we live. If I had time to stay with you a little while longer, I would tell you that once that your faith is built on God's Word, it is then that you move, you transgress, you progress your faith into being obedient to the Word. In other words, faith should make you do what the Word says to do. It's called faith in action because a whole lot of people know the Word, but they aren't really doing what the Word says. James put it this way, they have a lifeless, dead faith because faith without works is dead. Verse number 3 says, he got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey. And he took two of his own servants. And he did split the wood. And he went to the place where God told him to go. Watch this. Saddled, took, split, or all action verse showing that he did what God told him to do. If I had to come up and tell you how from where he was to where he had to go, it was a 3-day journey. Tell you how he had to carry his wood, make sure his son was with him, bring everything needed for the sacrifice. You see, what real faith does is once it's doing what God tells you to do. Real faith then will force you to prepare yourself for the work that God has assigned to your hands. You see, If we had a better understanding of the faith, if we get back to church, the church would be packed. I mean, we would have people standing around the walls, and the preacher would have to turn people down to do things as opposed to paying folks to do stuff. Because if we had a better understanding of real faith, nobody would have to sit in heaven. And I love this phrase, but y'all would have to work so hard. You would have to force people to clap their hands and tell them to praise God. God should be able to look at anybody in here and say about any one of us, if I can count on anybody to shout hallelujah, to clap their hands because of what I've done for, it should be you. Don't have mercy. If I had time this morning, y'all, and I continue verse number 5, it says that Abraham told his servant, stay there with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. You know what real faith does? Sometimes it forces you to separate yourself from some people and some things and even some places. You see, when you come here to church to do worship or to do ministry, you separate yourself and you've got to learn how to leave your junk and your mess in the parking lot. But you can bring your pain, bring your burdens, come on in here and pray and sing, but leave the mess on the outside of the door. I know y'all don't have that trouble in Brooklyn Northeast, but in some church, there shouldn't be no fighting, shouldn't be no hard feelings, shouldn't be no junk and mess in worship. But real faith is we got to separate ourselves for the work of God. I promise y'all I'm going to real faith is willing to sacrifice. Willing to give up anything that you have and willing to give it to God. The Bible says that Abraham and Isaac now reached the place where God told him to go. Abraham then builds an altar. He gets the wood and he places the wood on the altar. He gets the fire to burning. Isaac is standing there with him, and Isaac is hesitant. He looks around and he says, I see you build an altar here, and I see you have this wood and fire burning. Normally there is some type of animal, like a lamb or something. Where is the lamb? Abraham tells his son, he says, the Lord will provide. And then he proceeds to tie Isaac up and lay him on the altar. Takes the knife in his hand. His hand is in the air to slay his only son. Brothers and sisters, this is a perfect picture of what being willing to sacrifice anything for God looks like. It's an odd picture, but it's a perfect picture of being willing to sacrifice your all for God. This is what real faith is all about. Your money, your time, your plans, your effort, your energy, you've got to be willing to sacrifice your anything. That's the first thing, anything. You've got to be willing to sacrifice your anything that God asks of you to do. And that's regardless of how much you want to hold on to it. You see, we all, to be honest, it says sometimes we don't feel like it, but we're willing. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but you must be willing. And here it is, y'all. When God sees that you are willing to give him anything, that's when he provides everything. Real faith puts everything you have in God's hands and say, God, have your way. You see, when Abraham lifted his hands to sacrifice Isaac, You know the story. Angel stopped him and told him there was a ram caught in the bush. And Abraham then says, God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. I'm almost done here. Read it on the second. What the songwriter meant when he said, all I need, the hand has provided. The old church, the outgroup, they would say, what you need, God's got it. He's got everything. Everything you need. Real faith, y'all, has nothing to do with you. But it's all about you. Real faith is not about what you can get from God, but it's all about what you're willing to give to God. You see, God sent Abraham to Mount Moriah. And catch this. Moriah means the land of more. The land of more. One would think that after he chased God in Moriah, in the land of more, he would leave the land of more with more stuff. But he leaves the land of more only with one more thing. He didn't get a new house, he didn't get some money, he didn't get a new car, he didn't get a promise of a new job. He left the land of more with just a new revelation. And that is that God will provide. So what are we to gain from that revelation? And I'm in my seat. Hear this, if you trust God with your everything, that's when you realize that God is all you need. True story here, story from a legendary Baptist preacher, the Reverend Dr. Caesar H. Clark, going through a divorce down in Galveston, Texas, and his wife is standing in the courtroom. The wife, the attorney, submitted what she wanted out of the divorce. And the judge says, Dr. Clark, the wife says she wants both houses. God says, John, it's okay if you have both of them. Just as Dr. Clark, your wife submitted here that she wants both of the cars. Dr. Clark says, both cars, okay, your honor, you can have both of the cars. Just as Dr. Clark, your wife is asking for the boat that you have docked in Galveston, Texas on the port. Dr. Clark says, the boat, you can have the boat too. Says, hold up, Dr. Clark, now. I understand you want to take care of your wife. But you are going to let her have everything that you two have worked for over these 20-something years. Dr. Clark says, Your Honor, she can have a house. She can have the cars. She can have the boat. She can have anything that she wants. All I want, Your Honor, in my Bible. Just let them have my Bible because God is in that Bible. And God is all I need. That's really all I came to tell y'all this morning. That God is all you need. Cars break down. Houses fall apart and need repairs. Money comes and money goes. But just give me Jesus and I'll be all right. I feel like it. Y'all don't mind if I preach like I feel it, do you? As long as I got Jesus, I'll be all right. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. I hear my granddaddy say it. Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the noonday. Jesus in the midnight hour. Is there anybody listening to me that knows that you're glad that you got Jesus? Because if you got Jesus, you got everything you need. I got Jesus, I don't have to worry. Because if I got Jesus, I got amazing grace. If I got Jesus, I got mercy. That's new every morning. If I got Jesus, I got joy, unspeakable joy. If I got Jesus, I got peace that passes all understanding. And the best part about it is, he barriers, but my trust is in the name of the Lord. Can I say it another way? Some trust in men, and some trust in women. Some trust in money, full power and career. But my trust is in Jesus. That while we sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust, but He is brave. Holy lead on Jesus' name. I like this verse here. It says, in every tide and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And this is my favorite part. When all around my soul gives way, He is all my hope and strength. I know why y'all are happy. You need to hear the refrain. On Christ, with solid rock I stand. All of the ground, a number seeking sand. I thank God for my family. I love them to death, but your family ain't nothing but sinking sand. I thank God for my job. I got a few dollars in my pocket, but I can get fired tomorrow. But my job ain't nothing but sinking sand. I thank God for my friends. Sometimes my friends don't return my phone calls or answer my text messages. But at the end of the day, friends ain't nothing but sinking sand. But on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground, in nothing but sinking sand. I've been a whole lot of places, tried a whole lot of things, but just one thing I know, ain't nobody coming like Jesus. Nobody can hold it. Nobody can love it. Nobody can rock it. Nobody can chase it. Nobody can pick me up or turn me around or set my feet on a solid ground. Nobody. When I think of His goodness and all He's done for me, I give my feet in a little slice, my hands so affected, I open my mouth, and I'm going to tell Him, thank you, yeah, you've been good, thank you, yeah. Thank you.